Welcome to this brand new episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. This podcast is hosted by Mark van Horek and myself, Elias Krum. We're both from Marketing Guys, a MarTech agency based out of the Netherlands. Welcome Matt Barnett and Oliver Brits from Bromjoro on the Marketing Technology Podcast. We have you guys over from live from the UK and Australia. Welcome to the Marketing Technology Podcast.
Hey guys.
Hey guys, great to be here.
You guys are with Bromjoro, a team of three. You just mentioned in the conversation we had previous to the podcast. Could you explain what Bromjoro is and how you ended up to found Bromjoro?
Yeah, sure. Maybe I'll kick this one off. And by the way, our marketing team is three. The team is about 15.
Okay.
So we're slightly larger, spread across about five continents. So to start with a story, maybe, we ran an agency. So we were founded out of Australia. There's not many tech companies that come from here. And we had an agency that was based in Australia, and we had clients in London, Paris, New York, and actually in the Netherlands as well. And we had a problem whereby all of our leads would come in when we were asleep. So everyone, we would have inquiries come in, we would be asleep in Australia, and then we'd send emails the next day, and we didn't get a great conversion rate. And so we knew that we were very good in meetings. And so we started, it's about 3 years ago, we started sending videos to every single lead that came in as a first touch point. And when you live in Sydney, where I lived, I would take a ferry to work. So I would get on a boat, I would go past the Opera House, which is quite iconic. And I would see that James from Ogilvy in London had signed up, and I would record a video for James. I'd be on this boat, and I'd say, "Hey James, I saw you sign up last night. My name's Matt from Australia. You run this agency. I see you've worked with Budweiser and Procter & Gamble and Danone, and we work with all these clients. Obviously, I'm in Australia, but just want to say, you know, welcome on board. And I'm in London in 6 weeks' time. Can I come in and see the team?" And this was the first piece of communication they ever heard from that company. It was me on a boat with the Opera House behind me saying this. And the response rate tripled overnight. And most of the responses came back, and they kind of said, "Yeah, we can't really understand what you're saying, because there's too much wind in your face. However, you look like a fun guy. I heard the words Danone and Budweiser, so yes, we work with them. You should come and see us in 6 weeks' time." And so we started sending these videos, and it started to work extremely well. And we sent them out, and we built this bit of technology that would do it for us because we had this problem. And a long story short, one of those clients asked if they could use this video email service. We let them use it. They started sending them. One of their customers asked if they could use it. You know, they started sending them, one of their customers, and so on and so on. And so we realized that there was a need that many businesses were facing in getting the kind of FaceTime across around leads. And so we built this product, and it overtook the first company in terms of growth within 18 months. And it's now the biggest company that we run. So it was kind of a happy accident. So that's the story behind.
Oh, those Bonjour. Are best stories.
Yeah, well, the best. We've had multiple guests actually on the Marketing Technology Podcast that have a MarTech solution that came forth from an agency.
Yeah.
Because as an agent, you see all the difficulties and all the new stuff that goes around in the market. So the best ideas are born in agencies, I guess. And it's always fun to see how some idea like that gets worked out and becomes a company. And in the end, becomes a company that's even more successful than the agency. For our listeners that don't know Bromjoro, what does Bromjoro do?
So we are a layer that plugs into your customer data source. So that could be a CRM like Intercom or ActiveCampaign. It could be an email system like MailChimp, or it could be an e-commerce platform like Shopify. We plug into a lot of systems. And what, like we discovered at the beginning, we found that at certain points on the customer journey, if you send a personalized video message, it gets a much better engagement rate, much better conversion rate. And by plugging into those systems, we essentially tell you when certain triggers fire, this is a good time to send a personal message. So for instance, there's three areas that people use Bonjoro. The first one is lead conversion. So a new lead comes in and we say, hey, Jenny from Toys R Us just signed up, send her a message. And you send a message saying, hey Jenny, this is Matt from the business. Saw you signed up, wanted to welcome you on board. I saw you did X, Y, and Z, but you haven't done Z, like the last part of the onboarding process. So if you need help, you just let us know. We're here to help. We're a human company. The other place we used is, and this is more in SaaS, is kind of around activation. So making sure that your paid customers actually start using the product.
Mm-hmm.
And then also in online education, we get used a lot there. And then the third place we get used is around driving reviews and referrals. So for like a big use case here is in kind of e-commerce. So post an e-commerce sale, clients will send the video 3 days later saying, hey Tom, I hope you received the product. I hope it's to your satisfaction. If it is, there's a link on this video. Please leave us a review. So again, like there are triggers that are fired from the CRM or from the customer data source that say, this is a good time to send a video. We give you all the information. You record a video. It takes 30 seconds. We then deliver it, track it, include links, and you go back to work.
Cool. So sounds like a very cool product, and it raises a lot of questions with me. So that's a good sign, I guess. So you mentioned a lot of target audiences, B2B and B2C, e-commerce, etc. So some questions that I have, let me start with this one, because the first one you mentioned is like a B2B example. Is Bonjoro used in every phase of the sales cycle? So for example, is it also used for prospecting in B2B?
Look, we're not so much, so we're not used for cold sales. So no, if by prospecting you mean...
No, I can fully imagine that. So of course, you're not going to send videos to cold prospects and say, hey, I'm Matt. Nice to meet you. I can fully understand that. But while, you know, there's in an inbound marketing funnel, you would get like in B2B, typically you get like someone signs up for a webinar, downloads a white paper, views a case study or whatsoever. So you get email addresses. And during that stage, you could also use video. Is Bonjoro used for that as well? Or
yeah,
is it later on?
Can I jump in on this one?
Okay.
I actually just wrote essentially a playbook of sort of all the ways that you can use video in your funnels. I called it the video funnel playbook, and actually sort of hit upon an interesting part of the funnel. So in terms of prospecting and inbound sort of lead generation, there are definitely some sort of suitable areas. So, you know, one might be that you really want to get people to show up to demos or to sales calls. So I think a lot of companies have this sort of pain point where you might get people that will sort of book in for the call and you get probably a pretty high dropout rate that people don't turn up. So we've actually seen, we've got a few clients that use Bonjoro. What they do is they send videos maybe the day before or the morning of that meeting or the sales call or the demo to a person that's meant to be turning up. And in doing that, they've really increased their show up rates. So they're getting less dropouts. And I think what's happening there is that what you're doing is you're taking the time for that person and you're essentially showing them that you care and that you're going to be a good person to work with. You're building up like a level of trust. They can tell you an authentic business. And there's also a bit of like the law of reciprocation. So that person in receiving a video, even though at this point they're just a sales prospect, they feel a bit more obliged to sort of return the favor almost. So, you know, if they drop out now and you've taken all that time to send them, you know, taking 30 seconds, 60 seconds to send them a video that's just for them, you know, there's more of a sort of human connection going on. So there's definitely there's definitely great ways of using it. And I think that law of reciprocation is a big thing in the sort of personalized video space.
If let's say for the lead generation part, you can start, let's say, very in the beginning, if somebody has downloaded let's say a white paper or something like that. You can send a confirmation email. Here's your white paper, etc. But would that also be a good moment to make a little bit more personal, or would you regard that the moments for the human touch is a little bit more down the funnel, so that you, because I can imagine that if you're very successful, you have to make a lot of personalized messages, whilst when you get a little bit more down the marketing funnel, there are less people you have to send the personal message, and they are much more likely to become a real deal.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the key for me really is, say if it's, imagine you're a huge organization, and this is a white paper that's going to be downloaded by, I don't know, 5,000, 10,000 people. It's probably not the best scenario, but what you also should do is look for other signals. So, I don't know, whatever signals you're picking up in your CRM and in your marketing that say that this person might be a sort of, have a sort of high buying intention, then it might be that you try and filter for those people. And that's you, like with our tool, you can set up workflows where you're triggering something. So, in your CRM, maybe if they've got a lead score of like 80 or above, you could pull them into Bonjour and send them a personal video. So I think, yeah, as a general rule, like white paper might not be suitable. But having said that, I know, I've got a few friends actually that run small businesses, B2B in the businesses in the UK, in the sort of technology space and technology like software, like selling into sort of motor firms. And they've used it when they've published a white paper. That's the volumes of people that come to their site and find that white paper are quite small because they're quite niche. And the white paper that they've written is on a very specific subject. So they might get like 5-10 downloads. And actually a download of that, when it's so related to what that company does and what that company produces, then that's probably a really good occasion to send a personalized video. Because that's, really like that buyer, that person that's downloaded that white paper is really probably quite sort of highly in tune with what you sell. So I think it really depends on the context. So I guess I'd think about it a little like that. So depends on the context, but also look for those other signals that might create a trigger where you then send that person a video.
Okay, so basically what you do is you look at your customer journey, your specific customer journey, and you identify touch points where a human touch would make a big difference.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So for me, before we go into some use cases where you can share experiences, these kinds of solutions are as strong as the weakest link. And what I mean by this is that it's a very good solution for companies, but you need a process in place to really start using it. Because if you have multiple SDRs or sales development reps in your company, and one of them is using it and the other one isn't, it's usually not gonna. Well, you need to have this in a process. How do you get people to actually do this? Because it's you need to put your head on camera. People need to feel comfortable with it. Not all SDRs do feel comfortable. So how do you help companies in really adopting Bonjour?
Yeah, so it's maybe I'll jump in here. Like, we tend to get adopted bottom up. Mm-hmm. So we tend to be picked up by individual team members who use us on a personal level.
Yep.
Within an organization. And then what will happen is certain members will get success with it, and then it will start to get adopted by other team members. Now, I won't say that every single team member will adopt us. Yes, you're putting yourself in video. It is like, if we look kind of to 3 years ago when we launched, the number of people getting comfortable on video, like Zoom has helped massively, is growing. I think people are realizing that it's not about looking your best. And the it's not a highly produced piece of content. It's no different than picking up the phone or having a coffee with somebody. Mm-hmm. Look, but there are definitely drivers in the organization, and we tend to follow those drivers. So once the driver takes it in, we help that driver get success. And once that driver gets success, then generally the team will start to come on board. Again, look, there are always some team members who this might not be right for. That's fine at the moment. I think in time, most people will come around. But look, SDRs, SDRs are actually pretty good. Yeah, we do a lot in customer success as well. So kind of like SDR to customer success handoff as well. That kind of process between lead to, I guess, what I would call activation. So newly paid customers, making sure they stay with you is a key part where we come in. Generally, these areas, most of those individuals are highly driven to convert leads and to keep leads, and they will do most things that takes. Getting on a little video and saying, hey, I am here to help, or this is who I am, isn't such a big step. And it's probably a smaller step than a lot of people initially think. And once they do 10 or 15, you start to realize it's all just about the connection, and it becomes extremely easy. You get good results and then off you go. But yeah, it's definitely a bit of a learned process.
I think there's one little bit to add to that is actually we launched with a mobile app as well. And I think a key part of that when we launched with a mobile app was knowing that people probably wouldn't want to be tied to their desk when they're sending videos. So some people are comfortable with that. You know, they can sit at a desk in the middle of their office with other people around within earshot, and they're happy and confident sending videos. But some people aren't. So for those people, you know, having a mobile app where they could go out maybe on a lunchtime walk or whatever it might be and record their videos for people, I think that's pretty crucial. Like, I'm one of those people that's a little bit like, you know, a bit shy around other people. So if I can just take my mobile app and record videos and go for a walk along the river near my house and do them, then I'm comfortable. And if I'm in a comfortable zone, I'm going to send, you know, a better video, and it's going to be a better experience for the person receiving it. So I think it's a little bit about the context in which you're sending as well, and having the right device that suits the person too.
Yeah, I've actually signed up with Bonjoro, and I used indeed the mobile app to make the video, and it was quite funny. I was at home, and my daughter, she's 14, she actually saw it and said, "Oh, are you on Snapchat?" "No, I'm doing the new thing." And she was giving me all these tips how I should do this, and so I can imagine that this tool will really be picked up by Gen Z employees, or even some of the younger millennials, because they are used to use the phone
to be on video.
Yeah, to be on video.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what's crazy? So if you look at our user base, most of our active users are over the age of about 32.
Okay. So that surprises me.
So yeah, and this is the thing. And so we dug into this and we looked at why. And honestly, I think it comes down to the fact that they are more senior in their positions. They know their role. They know what it takes to build relationships. They are very comfortable building relationships with people. And I think, to be honest, they're confident in themselves and in their role. So we thought this would be picked up more by younger people right now. And again, maybe it's just yeah, the caveat is obviously we used by people in certain roles. Maybe that's why. But most of our user base is older. I will add as well, we do see our user base is biased towards men as well. I think our signups through to usage, it kind of stays about the same, but it's about 60-40% men. Again, maybe that's a caveat of the industries we work in. I mean, customer success is less male dominated. Sales is maybe more male dominated, but again, like, it's not all as clear as you would think.
Okay, so now that we're into this, usage of your software, can you? You're successful. You've grown the team. The business is basically doing better than your agency did. Can you share some successes? So which industries or particular clients have seen great success with Bonjoro?
Yeah, Ollie, do you want to take this or?
Yeah, I'll kick off with one, and it's there are a number of different industries, but there's one that I found really interesting, which is, you know, the sort of not-for-profit and like charity space. We've seen some, you know, I think Matt will come in with some more sort of sales sort of style organizations, but we actually had a guy that uses us. So we're used by an organization called the YMCA. Mm-hmm. If you've heard of the YMCA, they run essentially summer camps and sort of youth hostels and things all over the world. And in the States, we were picked up by a few camps out there who wanted to use Bonjoro to in three ways, essentially. So they wanted to send videos to new inquiries. This was like mums and dads that were looking to send their kids to camp. And the theory was that it would create that trust level and they'd stand out versus other camps and therefore convert more students. They wanted to send videos to previous donors. So YMCA are not for profit and they are supported by parents that might become donors and want to make sure that camp's got good facilities, and videos to, you know, past parents as well. So it might be, you know, previous parent has sent a kid and they'll make an ask saying, oh, by the way, your kid had a great experience. Why don't you refer a friend, you know, send them to our camp. And actually the guy, like I said, Tim, who runs one of these camps, he got in touch on our Facebook community and was like, wow, okay, I've just done this first thing. I've sent a video to a previous donor. And essentially in that video, what he did something really interesting. He sent a video and all he did was say thank you to those parents for their donation that they left like the previous year. I think they donated something like $5,000 to his organization. And in the video, he said thank you. And then he linked to a YouTube video where he showed them, he put together a video of all of the sort of donations that have come into that camp, what they've been invested in. So they've gone into like camp facilities and all this sort of things. So he'd sent a thank you video, linked to, you know, to say, oh, by the way, this is where your money was spent. And he said he woke up the next day and that couple of people, the couple had put an extra $3,000 in their bank account. And that for me was just like, wow, okay, that was sort of light bulb moment. Because what he'd done is, all he'd done is send a thank you. So he'd used videos to send a thank you to previous donors. He hadn't even asked them for anything. And they're giving them $3,000 extra overnight. So, you know, in terms of that sort of charities, not for profit and thanking and building sort of authentic relationships, I was just like, wow, okay, that's crazy. So,
absolutely.
It's really like an empathy tool. Yeah. It'll really show gratitude, all kinds of emotions, what you normally cannot do really good in an email or something like that, unless you're very good at words. But if you can show a video message, indeed thanking you and showing how grateful you are, that can have, you know, you see it has a huge impact.
It is, and this sounds like a tool you just have to start using in order to experience how it works. So I can imagine people that are listening to the podcast want to start using this. So how do you guys suggest people start? Is this because they can sign up and I'll for a 14-day trial I saw on your website, so I'll put that website in the show notes as well, of course. But once they've signed up, they need, like you mentioned, playbooks. So can you elaborate a little on how people can get started with this?
Yeah, so I think the first thing to say, sorry, I'll let Matt come in. And say, I think the first thing to say is to be sort of confident in there's a human psychology behind this. So, you know, if you're sort of worried about, oh, I'm going to be sending those videos and I'm exposed and like, being a bit, like feeling a bit exposed by it, there's definitely a human psychology. Like people love to hear their name. It really helps you sort of tap into that relationship side of things. So I think be confident that when you do this, you know, you won't know it's going to work until you do it. But when you do it, there's human psychology involved. And like you said, there's that empathy thing. So know that on the other side of your video, someone's probably going to be pretty blown away by the fact that you've done this and you've taken the time. So that's the first thing. So be confident in that. Just give it a shot and you should get the results that you want. In terms of like onboarding, getting set up, you know, I mentioned, and I'll give you a link for the show notes, but I've created essentially, this playbook of all different ways you can use video, all parts of the funnel. So whether it's like lead conversion, whether it's activating new customers, or whether it's trying to grow your existing customer base. So it might be you're trying to get upsells or referrals or reviews from your existing customers. There are lots of ways you can use it. So that's at bonjoro.com/video-funnel-playbook, but we'll give you a link for the show notes. So I say, yeah, definitely the confidence in the medium itself and the psychology behind it. Matt, do you want to jump in? I know you had some stuff to say.
Yeah, so if you do want to give it a go and you hop on the trial, first and foremost, you will receive a video from one of the members of the team. So depending when you sign up, you might get a video from Australia, you might get one from London, you might get one from the States. But one of us will send you one and we'll mention your name and your company. And if you apply to that, like that's a direct line to one of the team. So if you want to have a chat to us, ask us any questions, you know, we're there to help. But we will demonstrate it. You know, we're not the most beautiful team, but we'll send you videos anyway and we'll have some fun with it. So like, if we could do it, any of you can. It's cool. That easy.
I was also wondering, does company culture play a role? I can imagine that if people are listening, say, yeah, but this is more like for companies that are very informal and not with strict rules. But I work, let's say, for a bank or an insurance company, and we've got very strict rules. And so is that the case, that your customers are more the informal type of cultures, or do you also have companies or clients that, or let's say, put it the other way, is Bonjour for everyone?
Yeah, it's a very odd job here. Like, look, I don't think it's for everyone, to be honest. I think there is a cultural alignment. I think the culture here is transparency and trust in your team to be your brand. So if you use this, you need to trust that your team talking to your customers frontline is the right message you want to convey. Now, we don't work with many banks, I'll be honest. We do have a lot of financial advisors. We have a lot of mortgage brokers. We have a lot of legal teams. Mm-hmm. However, just because these people deal in industries that are maybe seen as more serious, it doesn't mean they don't have great cultures. And in fact, one of our best and one of our earliest companies we ever brought on, biggest wealth management company, mortgage brokerage company in Australia. Mm-hmm. Now, these guys deal with people's wills, they deal with their finances, they deal with everything. However, they actually have an amazing culture and they are extremely customer centric. And that's the reason they are so successful. So for instance, when somebody gets approved on a mortgage, and these are suits and ties guys in the office, when someone gets approved, they will send them a video and they say congratulations, and they'll get the entire office to cheer. Now, spin the camera around, and it's, you know what? Now imagine you get that from an industry that you perceive to be a little bit boring, a little bit fusty, and this company sends you that. You're like, you go and tell all your friends, these are the guys to work with because they're like us. So yeah. I think there's a change globally in the way that businesses are treating consumers and talking with consumers. There is more personalization. There is a dropping of the barriers and there is more transparency. And consumers have driven this. People are like, you know what? Like, enough of the walls. We want to know that we can trust you. We can believe in you. And if you're a company that wants to do that, especially if you're in an industry where everyone else is not doing it, like this is how you stand out. So cool. If you're in these industries and you have the culture, like this just helps you, like, you know, accelerate that. Absolutely.
Absolutely. So cool. So I think listeners will find their way to your website and will get like a trial period. To end this session, we usually ask, also a question, what your own MarTech stack looks like. So what kind of tools do you use yourself to be successful in marketing, online marketing?
Ollie, this is yours.
yeah, Ollie, as a marketer,
it's your space.
Yeah, I always find it difficult because we use, I think marketing stacks are getting bigger and bigger. I try and keep ours quite small, but it gets bigger. Let me focus in on a couple of things that we're really liking at the moment. And they're not sort of necessarily like marketing technology, but it's just enabling us to do good work. So one of them, like, and the core is Notion. So I don't know if you guys have used Notion, but Notion's like a sort of docs and project management tool. And linking that up with Slack. So as an organization, we always had a bit of a problem of like, where do we store all the projects that we're working on in marketing and elsewhere across the business? And from my point of view, until I came across Notion, I couldn't quite crack it. Nothing was flexible enough. So I'd use things like Trello and all those sorts of things. They always seemed to like come up against like just not working. There were little obstacles with them. So mm-hmm. I'm using Notion a lot, particularly with the marketing team, to essentially plan out like anything that we do. So anything we do in marketing sort of lives on Notion. And the beauty, I think, of Notion is that you can switch. So you could create a list in there. It's like a list of things to be done in your marketing team. And that list is dynamic. So you can click a button to change it from a list to a Kanban board and then to a calendar. And for me, like, that is game changing. So if you've got like information that's in a list form and you can suddenly have it in a Kanban board, and then suddenly the next moment be able to see it as a calendar. Like, for me, that's sort of completely changed things, because it means that if you're running like a big team or a team of people that all work in different ways, and we all sort of respond to things in different ways, then everybody can see it in the view that sort of suits them. Like, I've never been a big fan of like Kanban boards, but I know a lot of people are. I like lists. So having that function, that's really sort of blown me away. And having what we do, so we create, for everything we do in marketing, we create a project in Notion. And then we also create a Slack channel that's named exactly the same thing. And we invite people in that are a part of that project onto the Slack channel. So there's a really nice alignment between the thing we're working on in Notion, the channel in Slack, and all of the communication happens in one space. So you're not distracting other people with what you're working on. So, you know, that's not really a sort of marketing tech stack thing, because if I went into our stack, it'd just get huge. But that's really been interesting. It's really changed how we work and made us much more efficient and focused in what we do.
Nice, nice. So we're always looking for these kinds of advices. So people tend to share that way. So it's. I think, well, since our listeners are marketers, our agency owners, our CMOs, etc., they're always looking for solutions like Notion. We'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. And well, thank you very much for being on the Marketing Technology Podcast today.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes and subscribe to our channel. Also, if you would like to be a guest on the show, or if you know anyone that should be a guest to our show, drop me an email through e.crum@marketingguys.nl or take a look at the website marketingguys.com. Thanks for listening.